as I can be.
Leadership. Hey, I was telling you about leadership yesterday, how I had all these thoughts coming at me about leadership. Mm-hmm. And these different words that were popping into my head, like courage, mm-hmm. Control, mm-hmm. Vision.
Yes.
Let's see if I can think of some other ones. I know I have a list of them here somewhere. Oh, here's the list I put down. Control, direction, which is kind of like vision, mm-hmm. character, confidence, vision, conviction, strength, compassion, encouraging,
yes.
dedication, humility.
Yes. Yes.
That's a handful.
Yes.
That's just a handful yes. of things.
Yes.
That kind of came to my mind, and yes. some of them hit harder than others.
Oh, all those hit hard this week.
Oh, they're all, yeah, exactly, right. Yeah.
This week, all those hit hard, you know, because being a leader, so many times, someone think being a leader is telling people what to do. I'm just telling people mm-hmm. what to do. But leader, you have to control yourself. As a leader,
yeah,
you cannot allow your emotions, your feelings,
yeah,
and your desire to override what is the best. Mm-hmm. I'm backing up a little because I see it flipping. What is for the better good? What's the best decision to make?
Uh-huh.
What is the best thing to do? Because we have to step outside ourselves as leaders and see the whole picture of what is going on. Because some people, they'll come at you, they'll attack you. Oh, you should do this, and oh, you're not. But you can't take that personal. As a leader, you have to walk out of that and say, what is all going on? Who's saying what? And what apply? How can I get everybody together collectively and motivate them toward the right direction to take? Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get everybody to agree with you. It's impossible to get four people, three, two to agree on 100% of everything that's going on.
Mm.
It just yeah. doesn't happen. But someone has to step up and be the leader.
Mm. Well, someone has to step up and be in charge, right? But that doesn't necessarily make them a leader. See, that was one of the things that I was kind of like learning recently, and that is you don't have to have formal authority to be a leader. There's been plenty of examples of people throughout history who have led people in a direction without having formal authority over
correct.
Them.
Correct. I agree with right? that. Okay.
Somebody mentioned Mahatma Gandhi. Mm-hmm. He was, I don't know if he was in charge of anything, but, you know, he just got up there and said, I'm going to starve if you don't follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not you agree with his technique or whatever, but, you know, you don't have to necessarily be in charge. Like me at work, I'm not in charge. I might even be considered one of the people at the bottom of the totem pole because of the nature of the kind of work I'm doing over there.
Right.
That doesn't change me from teaching people.
Right.
It doesn't change me from offering advice. Correct. It doesn't change me from speaking up when I think something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change me from exuding a air of not authority, but of knowledge and love and care and concern and direction.
Would you say it doesn't get you out of the accountability that you're going to be accountable for? Say, for instance, you just said, hey, I'm not the, but you have the knowledge of what is supposed to happen, and mm-hmm. you have the knowledge that person needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Does it, just because you go, well, I'm not in charge, does that make you unaccountable? Because you could have said something. You could have mentioned something. Why didn't you say something? So when it goes wrong, does it, are you real, if the plane, you know that the plane didn't get gassed up.
Mm.
And
you saw something.
And you saw something. Right. And you
and
don't.
It wasn't your job.
It's not my job. Mm-hmm. I'm not the pilot. The pilot should look at the gauge and mm-hmm. see that there's not enough gas. But you know that they're not. Are you not accountable? Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think, oh, I shouldn't say anything. Or mm-hmm. no one's going to listen to me. And I right. think that's where that leadership mm-hmm. quality kicks in.
Yeah.
Where something inside you compels you to say, I got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just sit here. Right. I can't just watch this happen.
Right.
And that's, I think America is built on a lot of young men that said, I can't sit here at home when there's a war to fight or there's mm-hmm. something to do. That leadership, and I know we've heard it, leadership is, leaders are made, not born. I don't know. I'm not trying to say against that saying, but sometimes people just have this internal in them
mm-hmm.
that makes them just step up when nobody else
right.
will.
Well, again, a lot of these words that I'm talking about, maybe almost all of them, have nothing to do with someone else.
Right.
Right. They all have to do with the individual.
Yes.
Control. Being in control. Now I'm not talking about being in control of other things.
No.
Being in control of yourself.
Yes.
Being in control of the things you can control.
Yes.
You know, I like what the Bible said about, if the man would be a pastor, he has to be a man who rules his own house.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he can't rule his own house, how is he going to rule the house of God?
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So there was that evident need of somebody who, you know, is already a good steward of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We were reading that book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that he talks about in that book is individual accountability. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to take care of yourself before you can ever think about taking care of somebody else.
Correct.
You cannot take care of anybody else if you cannot take care of yourself.
Cannot.
And we live in a society that is very, in general, immature, right? We got adults watching cartoons. We got people living in their mom's basement, you know. And this is like a growing epidemic in society that people aren't growing up to be adults. They're not growing up to be mature people. So being in control is, you know, something that a person has to do individually.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that attribute will reflect on other people. This person's in control. I can feel comfortable around them because I know they're in control. You know, like Jesus on the boat, sleeping on the boat. Why is he sleeping on the boat? Because he knows he's in control. He knows that nothing can, you know, harm him unless God allows it.
Correct.
He's in control.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he is in control. He can he got up there and obviously stopped the storm. That scared them,
mm-hmm.
right? He had control over the storm, but he wanted to show that he had control in the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, mm-hmm. when you're dealing with something where you can't control something, and you're still in control, right?
Right.
Being in control is one of those things that we can control.
We was talking about how that you cannot control someone else's happiness. You can't.
Mm-mm.
They have to choose to be happy or not. There's nothing you can do. We cater to people's feelings and emotions all the time. No, misunderstand what I'm saying. The Bible said, cry for those who cry, mourn mm-hmm. for those
yeah,
who mourn.
Yeah, of course.
But it doesn't mean that we alter the whole plan because
mm-hmm.
someone feels bad or someone got the sniffles
right.
or well, I feel the wind. No, you can't go on, I feel the wind. Mm-hmm. A man made a statement to me today, and or several people, mm-hmm. we was talking, and he said, you have to know what you can do and what you can't do. Mm-hmm. Fact. Not, well, I feel I can do that. No, no. You have to know in your mind, I can do that. Or I can't do it. If you can't do it, mm-hmm. and he said, if you don't know, just say you don't know. Just say, a leader says, I don't know. How can we get the answer to that? Mm-hmm. Not go, oh, and then it breaks down. You have mm-hmm. to know within yourself who you are. Mm-hmm. Who am I? Who? What can I do? I'm going to play.
That's a good point, too.
I'm going to play a role like I can really do that, but I can't really do that.
You can't be a faker.
That's what he was saying to me. He said, these people put on this facade, and you see through it.
Yeah, I've always heard that term, fake it until you make it, and I don't know if that's 100% true.
But referring to the feeling. That's uh-huh. referring to the, you don't feel like getting up in the morning. Mm-hmm. There's, you know how many mornings I got up and drove to work and felt like a dog. And when I got there, and when I got ready to check in, some said, you better put it on. You better put it on, because you know you have a testimony to put on. Because you know, just
people
because
you're
sick.
People are counting on you.
Right? Yeah. Just because you're sick. You know, mm-hmm. We know you're sick. But everybody expect you to why come then? Why show up? You shouldn't even drove here. You should have called in. Now you're here. Now you got to put on the show. So, okay. Boom. It was always that change after the third person went, let's go. After the third person, mm-hmm. It's like, let's. All of a sudden I felt it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's why I came. Okay, mm-hmm. let's go. That's not that feeling. But I never climbed up to that crane and told that guy, oh, I can run this. I can run this crane. Mm-hmm. I'm just as good as you on that crane. Hmm. That's stupid. That, like, I've had so many people. I've had people tell me, "Well, I can run that crew just as good as you can." Okay. No, you can't.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You think you can because you're looking.
Yeah.
And you're seeing.
It looks easy. It's not
Monday morning football. Monday morning quarterbacking is always easy.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Right. It's easy to see the mistakes after.
It's easy. But when you're in it and mm-hmm. you have to be confirmed, no one's going to go into the fire if the chief, the head guy said, goes, I don't know what we're going to do when we get in there, but we got to go in here. Mm-hmm. No, let's go, guys. Let's go.
Confidence, which was one of the words, confidence. You must have confidence.
Yes.
People are not going to follow you if you're incompetent, if you don't have any confidence.
No.
If you show, like, questioning or whatever, then everyone else is going to question. Right. And if they question, they're not going to want to follow. So confidence is absolutely essential to leading people. People don't want to go someplace like, say, for instance, we're talking about going on a vacation, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And somebody says, you know, I'd really like to go to, say, Leavenworth, Washington. I like Leavenworth. Mm-hmm. I like going mm-hmm. there. And if the leader was like, yeah, let's go to Leavenworth, Washington. I heard it can be cold there and wet and sometimes there really isn't much to do there, and it's hard to park, but let's go anywho. People are like, I don't want to go.
I don't want to go because you
don't want to. You sure didn't sell it, you know?
Yeah, you didn't sell it
But
at
if
all.
You were like, man, I'm so excited about going to Leavenworth, Washington. I'm going to see the mountains. I love seeing the mountains. I love the German atmosphere. I like the little stores.
Yes.
You know, I just like going through and looking at all the cool things. I love the Christmas store.
Because I'm going to tell you this. This is why.
Mm-hmm.
Because people love to hate a winner or a confidence person. Let's take Tom Brady. Let's take the current person, football player that everybody hate, Mahomes.
Okay.
Those guys got confidence and ability of what they're going to do,
yeah.
And they win.
Uh-huh.
They win. But what do everybody else that don't win do?
Oh, you got an ego.
Cheating for you.
All the refs are in your corner or whatever.
Right. So being a leader, you have to be confident in what mm-hmm. you're doing. Because there's so many people that are there ready to tear you down. As
mm-hmm.
soon as you succeed, somebody's going to come up with, well, you got a break. Or you're yeah. lucky. Or that.
If they, you know, that's so weird anyways.
So when you're, as a leader, you mm-hmm. you have to be confident. Hey, let's go. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. The crew that I was on, I was not the foreman,
mm-hmm.
and the foreman couldn't motivate them. But when I go, let's go.
Yeah. And that's that leadership without formal authority.
Right.
You can lead people. You can, you know, leading is getting people to do stuff.
Mm.
And so, if you know whether or not you're the one in charge or not, I mean, if right. you're meeting the goals of whatever you guys are doing,
exceeding the goals,
right.
So
there's going to be people who are formally in charge and they're not going to like that. You know, they're going to feel threatened by that.
That's where I was going.
They're
going
to feel threatened by
and
that.
That's what happened. Not just, you know, he couldn't just let Chris just do his thing. You getting all the praise.
Yeah.
The office think, man, you're running the crew.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, everybody, it don't matter to the guys that are doing the work. None of them are going to go up to the office and say, well, Chris is really running the crew down there. All he had to do is just, and I would tell him everything that was going on. Hey, boss, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And he would sit there and say, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? I said, well, boss, I think we should, like, do this. He said, yeah, okay, well. He said, well, you need to talk to them about that. I'm like, okay, you're the boss. He said, yeah, you go and talk to him. I said, okay, I'll go talk to him. But then something happened where he had to make a leadership decision
mm-hmm.
concerning me,
mm.
and he couldn't do it
mm.
because he didn't have confidence in his ability to lead,
mm.
and you got you as a leader, you have to make a decision that is not popular with everybody else. You have to go, no, we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know everybody's upset. I know, but this is the right way of doing it. Instead of, well, it's so-and-so's fault. And, you know, he shouldn't have done it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why did you let him do it that way then? You're the leader.
Thinking of Adam right now.
You're the leader. I said, I did what you wanted me to do.
The woman gave it to me.
Now you're throwing me under the bus? Yeah. You're throwing me under the bus?
When Adam, really? When you're supposed to be in charge, taking the hit.
Taking the hit. That's what leaders do. They
good
take
leaders,
the hit.
Yes, good leaders.
Good
yeah.
leaders take the right. hit. And they go, okay, I take that.
Did you ever take a look at that book I was talking about way back when called Power?
No, I think you sent it to me. I don't think
yeah,
I looked
so,
at it.
So the whole premise of the book is that, you know, there's people who are in charge.
Mm-hmm.
This is the nature of the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who are in charge, and not all of them are leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Just because somebody's in charge doesn't mean they're a leader. doesn't mean that they have character.
They have character.
Doesn't mean that they have a vision. Doesn't mean that they...
Absolutely.
So many things that just because they're in charge doesn't mean that they have the ability to be in charge.
Absolutely. Okay?
So when you... So that's one realization. The other realization is you got to be careful how you work with people.
Yes, you
how
do.
How you maneuver around them.
Yes, you do.
Because if somebody has power and you upset them,
mm-hmm.
you know, you mm-hmm. could get yourself in a world of hurt.
Yes, you do.
Right?
You do.
So there is a, you know, there's another aspect of leadership of knowing how to negotiate power.
Yes.
Power is not leadership.
No.
Power is not leadership.
It's just
power. It's power, and people have it, and some don't. And
some people don't.
It is what it is.
It is what it
and
is.
And I think everybody can, to some degree, have some kind of power if they just think about it long enough. But
you know
some
what
people
the greatest
have,
power is? Uh-huh. The power over yourself.
Control. Right, well. You know, you heard that illustration. You heard that illustration where the king's boy said, saw Pauper Boy or whatever, and the king's boy said, "I'm the royal son of the king, and I'm in charge of this entire nation, and one day I'll be the king of the entire nation."
Mm-hmm.
And the little boy is like, "I'm the king of myself."
Yes.
I'm the ruler of myself, because yes. he was the king's boy.
Boy was so proud and
you're proud and yeah, had no control
no
over
control
himself.
Over himself.
Yeah,
that is yes, and as a leader, you have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know when a good leader. Let's just because there's leaders, and they're okay leaders, but they could be. I'm just thinking of one right now. He could be a great leader if he could just control his tongue. Mm-hmm. If there's some way he could just hold his tongue and not respond emotionally to people when they say stuff,
mm-hmm.
he would be a great leader. Could go down as one of the greatest leaders. But I think what happens with that is there's no compassion. Didn't you say something about compassion?
Yeah, compassion is one of the things I wrote down.
The greatest thing that makes a great leader is the greatest leader that ever walked on the face of the earth said he had compassion for the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus
had compassion for the people.
Compassion. Right? Mm-hmm. He could have said, "I didn't tell them to come walk out here in this." They should have been prepared.
Right, exactly.
They should have known better.
Mm-hmm.
They knew we was walking away. He could have said all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He had compassion on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then even Mary and Martha, they came. He could have said, "Psh, well, fine, he's dead. All right, I'm leaving." But he didn't. Mm-hmm. He said he felt bad for them for their unbelief. And I think some of the biggest mistake a leader make is when they get to a leadership position,
mm-hmm.
they forget the compassion that comes with it. They go, "Well, you should already know that. You stupid. You dumb."
That's the immaturity.
You know how many times I heard foremen and leaders say, mm-hmm. "Oh, that's stupid. You're dumb. You're ignorant. You,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, wasn't you dumb and ignorant at one time too?
Yeah.
Wasn't you at one, you don't remember the time that you did something stupid?
Yeah, not everybody that gets promoted is a good leader.
That's
the way the world is. And that's something that, you know, I would love to see a lot of younger people learn earlier on in life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so frustrating. We live in this world, we live in this culture where we're told, you know, if you just work hard and you do all the right things, you could, you know, be the greatest person ever. That's not true,
mm-mm.
right? Time and chance happens to all. And so people can get promoted and never, you know, lift their finger. And other people can, you know, be demoted and have done everything they possibly could.
Right.
It's just things happen. Chance happens. And so the thing you can do,
mm-hmm.
right, is... You know, you can be the right person.
That's
his, you can be the right person,
sir, bro. Not the one that, not Jeff, was it the last gentleman, but the other cashier that was helping me. He said something. I said, "Oh yeah, I'm retired." He said, "Oh, I wish I look for this one day when I get to hit the retirement." I said, "You will." I said, "Because first of all, you just spoke it, and you have this great." He had a great attitude. Just was like, "Sir, you know, what about this, sir?" And like I told you, one thing he said, "Well, would you like to do such and such?" I said, "We can do this." "Oh yeah, most people don't know you can do this. If you did this," I said, "Oh, that's a great idea." I'm trying not to give out too much
information. That's fine.
And he was like, "Wow." I said, "You got the great attitude." I said, "First of all, look at you. You're dealing with people and you're controlling your attitude. You're trying to have a good attitude." He said, "Well, I am. I said, "Well, then you're on your way." But we don't teach people that they need to control themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You have to control. But what do we say? I mean, it started years ago. Do what's feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about anything else. Just do what feel good. Because I told him, I said, you got a job right now that I know you don't like. He just smiled at me. I said, that's the start. You're starting. You're willing to do something that you don't like. I said, you keep that attitude. You have a goal. Keep that goal, keep that vision, mm-hmm. and you're going to reach it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Oh, sir, I never thought of that.
That's interesting that you mentioned that word, because that was the other one. That's another one in here is vision and direction.
Mm-hmm.
Vision and direction. Mm-hmm. Vision, and I was thinking about this because I was like, is there a difference between the two? And because I was really trying to be thoughtful about some of this stuff.
I like this, yes.
That there is a difference between vision and direction.
Yes, it,
So you can have a picture in your mind of what you want to do. And if you don't have direction on how to get to it, then it's just a fantasy. It's a fantasy.
Yes.
It's not ever going to happen.
Yes.
If you have direction, like, okay, I'm going to go down A Street, then go this way and go that way, but you don't have a vision of where you're going or whatever.
Where are you going?
You're not going to be motivated to make the trip.
The motivator's going, going to burn out eventually.
But with both, if you have vision, you have a picture of something of what you want to do.
That is good.
And you know how you're going to get there. That is so good. Right. Then those two work together.
Yes.
So you have to have both vision and direction.
I'm gonna say the old saying, G.I. Joe, knowing is only half the battle.
Right.
You gotta do. You gotta have have action. You gotta have and sometimes it changes.
Yeah, you can. So it's almost. I'm glad you said that because like you could be going in a direction and to know you're going to the right place, but if you get off a little bit here and there, or you make adjustments, you're like, wait a minute.
There you go, the
original direction.
That's the word.
I said
adjustment. That's the
got
word.
Me going, you know. I loved what somebody had, like a picture or a drawing or whatever. People think that success is like, and it shows like point A and point B, and you see this straight line. He says, that's not what success is.
That is not.
Success is A, A, zig B, zig C, zig D, zig E, zig F, zig G way down on the bottom, zig H all the way up here, you know, and left and right and left and right and left and right. We had a term in the Army regarding indirect fire. So indirect fire is a weapon in the Army that shoots a projectile in an arc, okay? So instead of shooting straight at something, like you think of a gun or a pistol and it's looking right at whatever you want to hit, and you push the button and you hit it.
Right.
You're pulled the trigger or whatever. Mm-hmm. But indirect fire is like throwing a basketball. It's got an arc. And
artillery.
It comes down.
Artillery.
Well, me and you know what it is, but
okay,
I'm trying to be real generalized about it. But yeah, artillery. So they had a term in artillery or indirect fire called bracketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at the target and you call them and you said, okay, grid such and such and such and such, fire.
fire.
Right. And they'll fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be like over the target, mm-hmm. right? Further, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can say, okay, I want you to adjust. Drop 200 meters.
Yes.
And you're and they tell you, you don't try to adjust it to drop right on the target.
No.
They always tell you adjust more back.
More back, yes.
Right, so that you get this window.
You get this window, right? Yes.
And so then you say, okay, I want you to drop 200. So they drop it 200.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're on the other side of the target.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, okay, increase 150. And you get on the other side of the target, but closer.
Yes.
He says, okay, now I want you to drop 50. And you drop it, and now you're on the other side of the target, but you're really, really close.
Yes.
And then once you get it, like, right where you want it, they had a term, it was called fire for effect.
Yes.
You would say, okay, fire for effect, and that means just lob it.
Lob it.
Just destroy it.
Let it roll.
Annihilate it, right?
Yes.
Now, see, those guys that are shooting the guns, mm-hmm. they don't see what they're hitting.
Mm-mm.
They don't see what they're hitting.
Ooh-hoo.
It's the forward observer Ooh-hoo. That sees what's being
wow.
hit. Okay, the forward observer
wow.
is the one that's watching the target and watching around.
The Holy Ghost told you to go over there.
Did he?
He told you to go over there. Because guess what?
What?
God sees it all.
God sees it all. We don't see
we
it.
We don't see
God's
it,
God's just
bro.
Telling you to put the round in the chamber.
Bro, you
the,
went there, bro.
Yeah,
the Holy
adjust
Ghost
the dial this way.
Told you to.
Adjust the dial that
yes!
way. Right.
Well, and we...
Yeah.
When do we see? Sometimes we don't even see the effect.
We may never see the effect of what we're doing. Correct.
I'm sorry. That hit. That is so good.
You know,
good. That
here's
is so
another
good.
One. I
that
saw
so
a video recently of the first settlers in Plymouth Rock.
Mm-hmm.
The first settlers in Plymouth Rock. And when they got there, it was like December, the end of December. They were celebrating Christmas the first mm-hmm. day. But they were sick. They were mm-hmm. miserable. And people were dying like mm-hmm. crazy, mm-hmm. right? And even once they got on land and they found a place that they said, okay, this is where we're going to settle or whatever. One of the things that I kept asking myself is like, why did they send out scouting missions?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they send out some people to go scout out areas and then come back and report and
mm-hmm.
say, well, I saw this, I saw
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. And okay, this ain't gonna work. Let's go over here, whatever.
Right.
They didn't never really sent out scouts. They just like kind of checked out a few places
mm-hmm.
and said, okay, this is where we're gonna start right here.
Right.
And then on top of it, they were building these houses in the dead of winter. They were collecting materials to build houses in the dead of winter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing that came to my mind was, why don't you guys just start heading south until it's not winter anymore?
Right.
You know, I mean, you came from Europe. You know that it's hotter down south.
Right.
Why don't you do that here?
Right.
They didn't do that. They just like, you know, they were mm-hmm. they found land in North America and just said, go for it.
And that was a leadership call.
It was a leadership call. That's right. Miles Standish, who
was
some of the other guys.
Call.
Right. They made a decision to do that.
Yes.
And by the grace of God, some of them survived.
Yes.
And we still have a settlement there today.
Yes.
Plymouth Rock.
Right.
And, you know, you could see it on a map and you could see where the first houses were built.
Right.
And just... It's just sheer audacity, sheer determination to do that. But looking back, Monday morning quarterbacking.
Yes.
It's like, man, you guys could have sailed down the coast a little bit if you found a better place.
Right. And I thought it. I'm glad you said that because I thought of that too when I saw. But they had to make a leadership decision.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta do something,
right? They had to make a decision.
We gotta make. Do we roll the dice and lose more people? Or do we start fortifying ourselves and trying mm-hmm. to recover and then move on to the mission?
Yeah.
And sometimes as leaders, you have to take
chances. You got to make a decision
and
go
you're
going to
get criticized and you're going to get critiqued.
Yeah, it's easy for other people to come again later and say, you could have done this, you could have done that.
But as a leader, you can't take that personal. You can't go.
No.
You can't go. And okay, yeah, you're right. I was wrong. I could have done that, but we didn't do it.
So one of my favorite novels is a book called Ender's Game. And it's a story about how the military was grooming these young boys and girls to be military leaders at a young age. And they were geniuses. All of them were geniuses. And talking about, I don't want to lose my train of thought here.
The one guy. Right. Go ahead.
No.
Leadership.
I know we're talking about leadership. But what was it that provoked me to say this?
Critiquing. They were being critiqued about
their
actions.
They were being critiqued. Oh. So there was a moment in the book where they're like, you know that in some cultures it's considered a war crime to put anybody in the military who was under 13 or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And these kids were really young. They were like 8, 9, or 10, but they were geniuses. Think of like those kids who can beat, you know, Magnus Carlsen in chess or whatever. Like they got some kids that are just amazing. But so he said, you know, the one officer said, you know, they may consider this a war crime for us putting these kids in. He says, yeah, but we don't have the luxury to think about that right now.
Right.
We have to make a decision to win the war.
Right.
And
for a better cause.
Right. And so when the courts convene, we'll worry about that on that day.
Yes.
You know, there was a guy who Trump just recently pardoned who they had kicked out of the military. They were trying to put him in jail, all kinds of things. I don't know what it was, but they were basically second guessing something that he was doing in combat. And Trump said, I'm not trying to politic, but just it was an interesting statement. He says, we can't second guess our warriors.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that people can just get away with whatever they want. But, you know, if it's a questionable situation and they're trying to just make a decision in the heat of battle, you can't punish those people for that. When the bullets are flying over somebody's head,
you
can't second guess people's decisions.
I sit and talk to warriors every week, pretty much. I mean, if I miss a week, usually every Wednesday I'm talking. And the decisions they had to make in the heat of the battle depended on one person or the whole crew. This one individual or my buddy.
Yeah.
This, in some cases, this female and their kids or my crew. And that's a hard decision for a leader.
Right.
And then to be a leader and make that decision, you got to live with it.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't, but they're living with that. And you wasn't there. You wasn't in the motion. You wasn't in the fire. You seen it, how they say it, a sterile. You see it in a sterile environment. You wasn't there with the grass growing and the wind blowing and the sun hitting down on you and the ants crawling up in your boots. That is taken away.
Right. Now you can see clearly. It's called the fog of war.
Yes. There's so many. I'm thankful there's a lot of decisions I made don't hunt me.
Yeah.
A lot of them was made because, you know, I had to make them and no one was around. And I was the only one that had to make the commitment. And I did it and I didn't write them down. So there's no paperwork to be followed. And but it was a leadership position, and the men that I served, they had tires respect for me because when I made a decision, I stayed with it. I wasn't afraid. I was out. Just my training tells me this is what we do.
That's another good one there about leadership is being decisive. Having the ability to make a decision and stick with it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I like what I think Patton said, it's better to have a simple
yes,
plan,
yes,
executed,
yes,
properly, then they have a complex, you know, plan that is liable to just get, you know, torn apart on, mm-hmm, the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
That, I know I'm paraphrasing, well, totally, well, what he said.
Right.
Rephrasing,
but that's
it.
But that's what we do. We complex things with, and I said it again, with our feelings, with our emotions,
mm-hmm,
with how we think. We talking to an individual today, and we was talking facts. I mean, he was just telling, I said, oh man, I can talk to you. He said, yeah, he didn't like it. I didn't like some of the facts, but that's what they were. They're facts. It wasn't about, we didn't like the way the consequence that happened, but it was the facts. It was the facts. This is what it was. It's not, I think so, or maybe, but these are what, this is a result of this method. Well, and a lot of times what happened is people go, well, it wasn't my method. So we want to do your method, even though it doesn't work, we're going to do your method anyway.
Mm. The quote was, a good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan executed next week. But that quote isn't really what I was trying to say, so yeah, it doesn't really apply.
Yeah, anyway. It was close.
But it's a good...
I'm being funny. No. Sorry. There is no perfect plan. There's only one perfect plan.
Yeah, but some people think they got a
perfect plan. There's only one perfect plan.
Yeah, and that's the plan from God.
Right? There's a plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. That's the only perfect plan there is, bro. Everybody else... And that, as a leader,
mm-hmm,
you must realize that your plan is subject to fail.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not, as a leader, if you do not go into it with the idea that your plan is subject to fail,
mm-hmm,
you won't adjust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, another way of looking at it would be, this would make a great message. We have the right plan. Our plan cannot fail. Our plan is the best plan that you can follow. So, like, from the perspective of, like, this would totally preach. People considering what they're going to do, how they're going to live their life, decisions that they're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
They're making all these plans, whether they think they are or not. People make plans,
mm-hmm,
just by making up their mind to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, this is the best plan.
Best plan.
God's plan. And then you could, like, say, this is a plan that was figured out before the plan
foundation
was even
of
the earth, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that would really, really preach.
Oh, it is a perfect
plan. And that would be the title of the message,
The Perfect Plan. It's the perfect plan.
The perfect plan.
Yes, it is.
And we're working that plan. We're working that plan today.
We worked it last week.
We worked it today.
We worked it two years ago.
Yeah.
We've been working it.
Yeah.
And it works as long as everybody stick to the plan. As long as,
well, it's going to work. We're sticking to the plan.
No,
we're,
I mean, other people.
Yeah, other
if
people.
They'll take the plan and apply it to their life, it'll
right.
work for them too. It will work for them too. There is no.
That's another excellent point. Even from our perspective, when we consider what God's done in our lives, sometimes we have this. Habit of thinking, can this person get saved? Can this person be blessed? Can this person? And it's like, wait a minute. Why don't you go back to your story? Why don't you go back to what God's done for
your life?
Right. So we're really capable of being critical of other people, and it's like we're not even giving God a chance.
We're not even giving God a chance
because we know God can help anybody. He can fix their problems.
Duh. This, oh man,
it's a very carnal mentality.
As a leader, you must be very very, very aware of arrogance. It'll become very
arrogant. Yeah, it's pride.
You will, that will slip into you. That will, that's why that humbleness.
Yeah, that's why one that, of the words on the list.
That humbleness.
One of the
that's
words on the list is humility.
Keep, you have to keep that humble. You have to keep that humble spirit.
Bro, I'm telling you, these words that we're talking about today, they were just dropped into my lap. I was sitting here praying, and God just dropped these words into my lap.
Because humility. You will fall.
Yeah.
You are going to fall.
Yeah.
If you think that you will not fall, you will fall.
Yeah. That's why it's so important to walk carefully. The Bible says circumspectly, which means you're not just looking at front, you're looking to the left, the right, and
one of the presidents said, walk softly and carry a big club or stick.
Stick.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy. We was talking about it today again. That falling into that comparing yourself to someone else. Comparing, well, I don't do what they do, or I'm better than they are, or they wish they were, you know, dummy. I wish you if you could only get the knowledge I have, then you wouldn't make those stupid mistakes. But yet you go home and you scream at your wife and your kids, and you can't control your own spirit. You can't do what's properly. You stealing from the you know, you stealing from the company. I know guys, a leader. Yeah. But listen to what I say.
Yeah.
Okay. But you have and I guess there has to be somewhat, and I don't even think it's arrogant. I think it's confident. And that's where we people difference in arrogant and confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have confidence.
Yeah, arrogance is inflated pride. It's just
exactly.
It's like I'm trying to make you think
that I can do that.
Do something right.
Yes. Okay. That's arrogant.
Confidence is I've done this before, or
it work. Yeah, I know it'll work.
Yes.
But people don't want that. Mm-hmm. They immediately it's like, well, you're arrogant. How am I arrogant when I know this works? I know this work because I've tried it so many times. I've seen it work in other people's life. Tom Brady, Mahomes, you see them, they walk with confidence and people hate them because you know why? They know who they are. Go ahead.
You're on a roll. I was thinking of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're happy. We're going to be glorified. Mm-hmm. God's going, one day, we're going to get a new body. And then he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also.
Glory.
Knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed. You can have confidence because you've gone through it. You know, God is putting us through stuff that is not comfortable.
6 months, bro.
Yeah, and so a lot of people, they either give up in that, they quit, or whatever.
6 months, bro.
And it's like... I know you're going through something and it's been going on for 6 months. But you can have confidence when you've lived a life to where, you know, you've seen God work in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I like the story, Jacob is traveling away from home and he knows the God of his father, right? Isaac's taught him about God and what God has done for him, right? So he knew about God.
Yes, he did.
And he came upon, I think it was Bethel.
Bethel?
And he saw those ladders, and he saw those angelic beings going up and down.
Mm-hmm.
He said, truly, this is the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something interesting. He said, if God will bless me, and God will do all these different things for me, then surely I'll worship him and give him the tenth of all of my income, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a statement from somebody who has no confidence in God, right? Mm. Because he hasn't experienced anything. He's always been in mama's house. He's always had mama looking out for him, right?
Yes.
So he has no experience in God. He has no experiences to know what God is doing in his life or whatever. And it wasn't until after he had spent 20 years in the house of Laban, you know, being ripped off, being mistreated, and, you know, he wasn't in the soft, tender care of his mom anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, he was out there in the world having to make it happen. He's got four wives he's got to feed. He's got 12 kids he's got to feed, right? He's got to trust in God. And so, yes. You know, yes. And he's made dumb decisions, mm-hmm. right? Because he's like, you know, Laban's like, yo, you want my daughter? You got to work for her for 7 years. You know, there was no negotiation that went on at all. He was just like, oh, yeah. I'll do that. It'll be 7 years. Yeah. 7 years of right. your life, you right. know? Right. And he was like, oh, yeah. And he worked those 7 years, and he was so excited. They just went by real fast, right? And those are 7 years of his life. And then he got tricked, right? And now he's like, oh, you got to take this daughter first. Now you can work another 7 years. This guy was ripping him off left and right. Yes. He didn't have any experience in his life. Mm-mm. Then he made another. He's like, okay. You know, he didn't even, like, put up a fight. He's like, nah, you can't do that to me, dude. You know, there's no negotiations or a thoughtfulness involved. And I'm not saying that to find fault with them. That is human nature. That's life. You know, not many people get good enough guidance on how to live life, get good counsel on how to live life. Correct. And so here he was out there trying to make his own way, mm-hmm. and he was losing left and right. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was telling you about that army contract I had when I went in to join the army, and they offered yes. me 3 years yes. as an air traffic control yes. operator, and I didn't have enough sense to know that that was a dream contract.
Dream contract.
I didn't know.
Right.
I thought, well, you know, okay, this stuff comes by every day. No, yes. it don't.
That's you know? The idea.
And so he gets, so then it goes even further because then he's doing this new 7 year contract yes. for the animals. And yes. what does he do?
Yes.
He seeks the Lord.
Yes.
He seeks yes. counsel from
yes,
God.
He
seeks Why? Counsel from God.
Why? Because
and then God's like, okay, you know, feed these people that do yes. this to this, and you'll get these goats, make this deal with. He made a deal with him.
Right.
Remember? Yeah. He's like, this, I get this, mm-hmm. you get that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, it was no
confidence.
More. Yeah, he had confidence.
It was confidence.
He learned how to negotiate by living with Laban. And living with Laban, he was a dog. That dude was the used car salesman of the Bible. He knew how to swindle folks.
Yes, he did.
Right. And so Jacob, he was a shady dude when he first got started.
Right.
But God was like, I'll show you shady. Right. I'll teach you a lesson. Right. But that's the beautiful thing is that we're living for a God who's like, I'm not going to destroy you, but I'm definitely going to make you grow, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of people, mm-hmm. right, they want the blessings mm-hmm. of God, but wait a minute. God's not mm-hmm. a magic box. He's not an incantation. God is a father.
And people
and he's going to build a life in us. He's
and
going
people
to.
People think they can come to God and stay the same. I don't have to change.
Well, just let them stick around long enough. They're gonna, you know, it's gonna get painful.
It's gonna get painful.
Yeah.
And the more you resist, the more you put up a fight.
Right. And you can't bail them out either.
And that's now you no you really don't do that to me. You look
can't bail them out either.
And that's the worst thing.
Because that's the worst thing you're gonna do. Whether that guy's like
and
when the
guess
moth
what?
Is trying to exit.
And guess
the...
what? And guess what? Because the Lord told me.
Yeah.
You're going to get penalized. You get involved, you're going to get penalized.
Right. You're the one
you're
who's going to
get involved.
Trouble, yeah.
You're going to get penalized.
Exactly.
I said, oh, I want nothing to do with that. I want nothing to do with that. Well, don't you feel bad for them? Here we go. Don't you feel bad for them? Don't it feel so painful? And there's the feelings. There's those feelings. Now God has already said.
No, you're
God
gonna get already, me in trouble.
God already said, "Hey, leave him alone." Let mm-hmm. God said, Why is it escaping my brain right now? I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. He is.
Yes.
Uh-huh. He is.
Right.
Not me.
Right. Well, you're going in there. You're going in there and you're not this part. I don't want this part of the story.
Let's
see if we can edit this paragraph right here. Right.
Why am I trying to?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
In other people's life too.
Yeah.
Why am I trying to?
Well, you know, edit? You were saying something and I got to be careful how I say this, but if you're an emotional person,
yes.
You can't be in charge.
You can't
be in charge.
You can, but you got to control.
If you're an emotional person,
stop.
Okay. And you know who I'm talking about.
You can't control it.
If you're an emotional person, you need to subject yourself to your husband. And we know there's only two genders. You can't be in charge.
Stop. It's true though. I heard this. These women are coming out and they're realizing that there's so many baby mama sons, men. These men have been whooped into just, oh, yes, honey. Yes, honey. These women don't like that. They know that's not a man. I'm not saying beat your wife or put her, you know, tie her up in the
okay, hold
and
on.
Only let
this
her
is getting,
in the
this,
kitchen.
This is getting out. So let's. I want to go over some of these words real quick.
Wait, let me just finish.
Go
the
ahead.
Point. As a leader,
yeah.
Even as a husband, you have to be a leader. You cannot allow your emotion to control or dictate your relationship with your wife. Thank
yes.
You.
No, you're right. Control. We talked about control. Talked about direction and vision.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about, we didn't really talk about character. That's something that could be talked about. Confidence, we talked a little bit about confidence. Conviction was one we didn't talk about. Having a strong belief. Encouraging, you know, having the ability to not just beat people up all the time, but to keep them
motivated
with a good spirit. I love what you said about how you would come in there and cheerlead those folks and get them excited.
People can be excited.
Yes. You can get people excited.
They were waiting for the spark.
Right.
They was waiting for the spark. I was the spark.
Another one is dedication. Mm-hmm. You know, not all over the place.
Not
you got to focus.
No.
You're not scatterbrained. You're not all over the place.
You got to stay with it.
And the last one I had written on here was humility. And that's just a handful of things. And I'm sure there's a lot more. If you happen to think of some of these, the reason I'm doing this is because we're getting ready to wrap up.
If you
happen to think of some new ones, bring them to me, jot them down or whatever. I'd love to keep going on with this conversation.
That was really good.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Leadership has been on my mind. 2025 is the year of the Christian leader. I believe that this is the year that Christians will not only stand up and, you know, make their hearts known and their, you know, but also that, you know, we've been given extra grace this term.
Yes, we
so
have.
So now we have this ability to stand up and say no.
And let's not.
Right.
And I'm glad you said that because I want to say this and, with that, that doesn't mean that we appeal to the world. That does not mean we stop being fired up Christian, dedicated to God first, because it's easier. We still gotta maintain the prayer language and talk to God and do what God wants. Don't go, oh, well, I don't have to be such a great Christian. I don't have to be that dedicated of a Christian. No, this is time to be.
No, it's
now.
Time to buckle
now,
down.
Now it's time to buckle down and be a true
it's
Christian.
It's time to buckle
it's
down
easy
even more.
Now, right?
Yeah.
Even more so.
Yeah.
It's easy to spread the gospel, the true gospel, now, when we got this opportunity.
Absolutely.
Because I see so many Christians now, they're like, oh, well, it ain't all that bad. Oh, it's still bad. It's still there. God's just holding it back.
Oh, yeah. No, it's yeah. I'm glad there. You said that. Yeah.
It's still there.
There's still an enemy, and there's not defeated.
He is not defeated.
He's not. He's just, we've won a war.
We just won a war.
Well, the battle is still not. Yes. Now, God has won the battle. God's won everything. Yeah, right. But not for us.
No, we're still in the battle.
Yeah, we're still fighting this thing. There's still enemies. There's still people looking for
ain't time to let the guard down. It's not time to let the guard down.
No.
It's time to go on the offensive and go. Exactly. Attack and no, let's take the ground back.
Just like in that book Ender's Game, he said that he had beat the bully. Mm-hmm. And he was in the beginning of the book. He beat the bully, and then he not only beat the bully, he started kicking him until he was like permanently damaged. Mm-hmm. And so when they came back to him, they said, "Hey, why did you do that? You know, that was very cruel, very vicious." He said, "Listen." Mm-mm. He said, winning the first fight was one thing. Mm-hmm. He said, I wanted to win all the other fights. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's going on today. It's like, you got the enemy in the corner.
Yep.
You better pummel that dude.
Yeah.
You better pummel him so he don't come back.
The prophet said, why did you only strike the floor three times?
Come on now.
Why did you not just, why do you keep...
Yeah.
Right. And stayed.
It's victory time.
It's victory time.
Let's take it all.
Yes, let's take it all back.
Yeah.
Let's not give no room for the enemy.
That's exactly right.
Give no room for the enemy. All right. Yeah.
Bye.
Fired up. Bye.